children. I am in 125 years of reggae revolution. Set it!
CFRU 93.3 and Guelph's Feminist Resource Network celebrate the achievements of women. Born in Brazil as the child of football player Tonino Cerezo, Leah T. rose to sensationalism when she became the face of Givenchy in late 2010. Love magazine also featured Leah T. and Kate Moss on their spring-summer 2011 issue. Throughout her rise to stardom in the fashion industry, Leah T. has been open about her transsexuality. With her open dialogue in various media, such as her appearance on Oprah's final season, she has striven to be an accessible face to other transsexuals and serves as an inspiration for the future of the fashion industry. This public service announcement is part of a series celebrating women's stories.
Boys in the girls room, girls in the men's room, you free your mind and your androgyny.
This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM. And today we'll be looking at raising poultry in an urban environment. And I'm speaking with David Trott of Urban Chicken. David, welcome to the program.
Hi.
All right. I'm very interested in this. We haven't had an animal producer on the show before. We've typically had people that are making products mostly from vegetables and grains and dairy products, but actually raising poultry is an area that we haven't really delved into. So I'm quite interested in this. Can you describe your background in poultry production?
Sure. Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. And so my background in poultry production, actually, before the show, you were showing me Joel Salatin's book, Raising Pasture Poultry. I read that when I was 10 years old. And when I was 12 years old, my brother and I started raising broiler birds, which are for meat production. We lived in 17 acres, and so we had a small farm, and we raised broiler birds and sold them to the local health food store. So that was the beginning of my poultry career, I guess. And then when I was an undergraduate, I studied agricultural science and animal science, and I actually started some undergraduate research again, with Joel Salatin's pasture poultry model of using outdoor floorless pens. And I just compared some feed conversion to raising birds inside to see if they get supplemental energy from, you know, the pasture or bugs or whatever else they can forage. And then when I went on to graduate school, I continued on in poultry. I didn't intentionally do it, but I studied nutritional science at the University of Wisconsin, and laying hens actually ended up being my research model. And I kept some laying hens in my backyard in Madison, Wisconsin, and continue to keep poultry. So it's been that's my background, I guess, with backyard poultry.
So you grew up in Madison?
I grew up in Central Illinois, Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, Springfield, Illinois. Yeah. But you spent some time in Madison. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to know, with respect to the training that you took in poultry production, what training you actually did formally, and also how that has helped you in your business.
Okay. So I haven't really had a whole lot of formal training in production systems. I've been to Joel Salatin's farm in Virginia, but as the in academia, the poultry stuff has always followed me around, so I've been to a lot of conferences, and I've also, my professors are experts in poultry, so I've learned a lot from them. So that's what my training, and I think as far as the business now of Urban Chicken in Guelph is mostly educational, and I think the way it helps is I have a unique experience of having some of the industrial learning some of the industrial systems through academia, but also my own personal experience.
So could you describe the focus of Urban Chicken? You've mentioned
Sure.
education. What specific services do you offer?
Well, so right now, Urban Chicken is just mostly just a website that my wife and I started, and we want the focus of it to mostly be education and offering seminars and consulting services to help people who are interested in raising chickens in an urban setting, just to make sure the bylaws are met, which isn't too difficult, but more importantly, to keep the neighbors happy and to make sure like the birds are well cared for. So that's our main thing. We're not too interested in providing a source of supplies or birds or anything like that. We can provide advice on where to get things, but the main thing is to make sure people understand what it takes to get chickens and raise them in a healthy way. And
now, what are the bylaws in the city of Guelph? I imagine you've looked into them.
The bylaws are that the pen. They have to be kept in a pen. They're not supposed to be roaming free. The pen has to have a floor in it, and it has to be 50 feet away from any neighbor's house and not near. The pen also shouldn't be anywhere near a stream or somewhere where there could be any runoff or pollution from the litter, the chicken litter.
Okay. Now, does that mitigate against having mobile chicken coops then?
No, not necessarily. I guess it depends how close your neighbor's house is. You should still be able to move them around somewhat, but it does probably limit, like, just the size of the yards limits how much you can move them around anyway, right?
Right. Okay, well, let's look at the logistics of this. So somebody wants to raise, and now are you talking about meat chickens or layers or both?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm mostly for urban setting, the layers are the most appropriate. They're very, very easy to take care of. I don't know of anyone who's raising broilers in an urban setting.
Okay.
Just because of the challenges of killing and processing the birds in a sanitary way.
Okay. So if, for example, I want to raise poultry because I want to have my own eggs, and I want to be able to provide my family with eggs that I know that I've raised, and I know what the chickens have eaten, and I know how they've been raised. How do I start?
The first thing you'd want to do, in my opinion, is to ask your neighbors about it. Well, maybe you want to educate yourself more on what it takes to do. So you want to make sure you can have a suitable pen. A lot of times you can convert an old shed or something like that. But I think you also want to make sure it's okay with your neighbors, so you're not making anyone upset by bringing in these chickens. And then once you've done the educating of yourself and your neighbors, it's not too difficult, and you have the pen built or retrofitted from a shed or whatever, it's not too difficult to get supplies or chicks. You can get the supplies at a farm store or feed mill, and you can get the chicks from there actually too in the springtime. If you want ready to lay hens, there's a place called Pullets Plus in Elmira. They sell white or brown hens, and they lay white or brown eggs.
So you're not worried about, are you worried about raising them or not raising them? Are they already mature when you get them, or would they'll be baby chicks?
You can get baby chicks. It's a little more work to raise baby chicks. You have to have a heat lamp on them
right.
for the first few weeks, but it's not too difficult.
So what is it, if for example, I decided to get baby chicks, how many weeks would it be till they would be ready to be layered?
They could start laying as early as 20, but it's more likely like 22 weeks.
Okay.
Before they start laying eggs.
Okay, and what are the units that you get, for example, baby chicks in? And how much would it cost? Would you get them like units of 50 or 100 chicks?
I think for an urban setting, you're looking under 10.
Okay.
10 chicks. I would order 5 to 10. They're probably not going to be sexed, like male or female.
And right.
You're not supposed to keep males in the city.
Right.
So, because they're a noise problem. So,
okay.
You would have to raise probably 5 or 10. And then, in my opinion, you'd probably want to keep like 3 to 6 of them.
Okay.
So, keep the females and find a farm or to get rid of the males.
Okay. And there are people that would probably take them. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
So if I was to get layers, so they'd be, what, 22 weeks of age? Would they be older or something like that?
You'd probably get them, 18 to 20 weeks. Like, pullets are either just right before they start laying or right when they start laying.
Okay.
And actually, another good place, my wife and I just got some pullets last weekend, and we found them just on Kijiji. Actually, so you can find birds listed on Kijiji, and there's also a blog called Poultry Swap.
Okay.
That you can find birds. And the thing about that is you have eggs right away. You don't have to raise them from chicks, and like you don't have to find a home for any roosters that the chicks that you may have among the chicks. And you can also look for a specific breed that you want, like a heritage breed.
Okay.
So I mentioned Pullets Plus. They just have brown and white. But I think the urban setting is a great opportunity to maintain some of these heritage breeds.
Okay, so if you were buying, let's say, a Pullets Plus breed, what is the best time of year to buy it? And when could you expect production? How much do they actually produce as far as eggs go?
If you bought a ready-to-lay hen in the spring, they'd probably be laying about 6 eggs. Each bird would lay 6 eggs per week on average, and they would lay until the days got shorter in the fall, in early winter. So if you want egg production in the winter, you'd have to put extra light on them, or you'd have to manipulate the setup somehow.
Okay, that was
lay through the winter.
All right, that would be my next question. Let's say, for example, it's an outdoor shed, and you know that you're not going to be able to bring them inside or ameliorate the indoor situation for them with temperature and lighting. Can you actually sell them at that stage, or give them to someone that would be able to use them, like a farmer, chicken farmer, or something along that line?
Yeah, I think they actually could make it through the winter pretty well if you have a properly, insulated or sheltered pen.
Okay.
You just might not have the eggs. There, especially these heritage breeds, there's a Chanticleer that was bred to be a Canadian bird, so it has no comb or rose comb, a pea comb. Any of birds that have that sort of comb, they don't get frostbite. They're really winter hardy. And they eat enough feed to keep warm. They eat feed, and it increases their metabolism, and they have no problem generating body heat to survive the winter.
Now, my next question is, how do you deal with urine and feces?
Yeah, so I think that's the reason the bylaw has a floored pen, because you don't want it on the ground and running off all over the place in the city. Pretty easy to, every couple weeks probably, you would collect the litter. So you put pine shavings down on the floor, you collect the litter, and the best thing to do with it is to compost it.
And could you put it back on your soil? Would you recommend doing that?
Yeah, you can use it for gardening. It's actually in Madison, some of the neighbors who weren't so sure about me getting chickens, well, some of them I gave eggs, but some of them I gave compost in the springtime. They were really excited about the compost pile in my backyard.
Right. So that sounds like, there's a multiple uses. Okay. That's so essentially, now would you use some sort of squeegee or something to get the shavings out with the fecal material, or how would you get it out of the pen? Because you put new shavings down, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Just a rake or a squeegee to pull it out, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
So the shavings are really absorbent. So I guess any time that it got wet would be a good time to change it. But yeah, that's something that you think about with the pen design, easy access to scrape out the litter. Yeah, in the winter that actually is you probably don't clean it out as frequently in the winter.
Okay.
Because if it gets frozen, it's kind of hard to clean out. But
okay.
There's a good spring cleaning.
Oh, okay. So you can actually leave them in there for months and it's okay. Will you have disease problems?
You put more litter on top of it. As far as disease problems, I haven't seen any. Keeping chickens, I've kept them in an urban setting for probably 6 or 7 years now, and I've never had a sick bird, but... it's the signs of a sick bird are pretty obvious. You get to know your birds. They all have their own personality.
Right.
They actually make like good pets, but you can tell when they're feeling sick. They're down. Okay. They also like have this bluish tint to them.
Oh, really?
And I think in an urban setting, the best thing to do is to treat them more like pets. And so you would actually call a vet and like see what they think is the problem.
Okay.
And make sure it's not something that's spreading.
Yeah. You don't do veterinary services as part of what you
do?
No,
I don't do veterinary services, but I would recommend, you know.
Yeah. You'd be able to recommend vets to come in to help people if part of your...
Sure. Yeah. I could definitely.
Okay. What is the optimal density? Let's say, for example, what's the average size of a pen, would you say, people might have in their backyard?
In our backyard, we have a pen that's 6x3 with a floor. And then they can also get down below the floor, so they have access to the ground, and it's semi-mobile where we can move it every few weeks. Legally, I think you can have a lot of birds. You could probably have, I forget the exact dimensions or how many you can have, but for a 6x3 pen, again, I think like the 2 to 6 range is good.
Okay.
Because they have plenty of room to perform all their natural behaviors.
Okay.
And the more birds you get, that's the more litter you have to deal with. Like
okay.
If you, that's probably the biggest thing. Feeding them, watering them, it's gravity fed. They're really self-reliant. You can leave for a week and go on vacation. The birds are fine. You have a neighbor come and collect the eggs. Make sure that they have the fresh feed and water. They're really easy to take care of, except if you start getting high numbers, then you do have to deal with that litter.
Okay, so it's probably best to start small and then work your way up.
Small.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I wanted to get into next. Okay, collecting eggs. So how do you design a pen, or how is it set up so you can easily get eggs and don't have to go in and, you know, wrestle around the shavings and the bedding on the floor? Mm-hmm.
So the nesting, you build them nesting boxes, and actually you put the same shavings in the nesting box, but they don't usually spend much time in the nesting box unless they're laying eggs. So that stays really clean. And you put that on one side of the pen and put an access door that you can open up and just reach right in to the nesting boxes.
Okay.
And grab the eggs. Okay,
so my next question is variability in egg size. Are you going to see that with the chickens?
Well, when you get a pullet, they're going to lay like small to medium size eggs. And as they get older, they'll lay like what you're more used to seeing from the store.
Okay.
Is
there any difference in quality? Are they more nutritionally dense because they're smaller, or is it just size? That's all.
It's just size. Like the proportion of nutrients is pretty well consistent no matter what the size. That's what I was going to say. As they get older, they lay larger eggs.
Okay.
And so the larger eggs actually have more total nutrients, right? Because it's similar nutrient density.
Right.
And you get... Each bird, actually, you also get to know which egg is from which bird because they have slightly different coloring. And, you know, there could be a calcium. One bird might put a little small calcium deposit. that you recognize. So you recognize the different colors and shapes of each bird.
So there's genetic differences. Okay. That you
The ones from the store have been bred to be very low variability, so they all look identical.
Right.
But I think that one of the neat things with the heritage breeds is that you get very unique eggs.
I've seen that before in eggs, that I've got from people that have raised their own chickens, and it's really quite astounding, the difference in egg and egg color. The eggs are fantastic. Like, it's so, the taste and flavor is superior to anything you'll find in the store.
Yeah.
So I guess the next question is their diet. How do you feed them, and is there opportunity for them to use your grass, for example, as a source of nutrition if they're allowed to, as you say, go from the floor to a level below?
So the chickens do really well with their grain diet. So you can get like a layer hen pellet from the farm store, and that should be their primary diet. It has everything they need in it. They do appreciate like the opportunity to forage. They eat some grass, probably more clover and legumes, but what they're really interested in is bugs as well. So a chicken naturally is a scavenger, and they do quite well with just the grain.
Right.
And you can, as far as does it supplement their diet, as far, you know, will they eat less grain due to grass? Maybe not so much, but you can definitely give them food waste as far as any leftover squash you have or fruits. They love fruits and vegetables and things like that. So that's another environmental benefit.
With the rinds as well, or would you take the rinds off, or does it?
They'll pick the rind clean. Then what's left over just will go into your compost.
Right? Okay. So it's really a very efficient garbage collection system, really, in integrating poultry into this. Now, with respect to really the whole attitude of people, why do you think there's a market for what you're doing, for consulting with people on how to raise chickens in their backyard? I mean, does it involve food security? Is it food safety? Is it a better tasting chicken? Is it a reinvigoration of the pioneer, the DIY ethic? What's driving what you're doing?
Yeah, I've heard people say they're doing it for food security, as far as we want to like have our own eggs, and food safety. They feel more safe knowing where your food is coming from. I think the egg, you know, and other people say the egg is much better tasting. I think the quality and freshness is there. But of those reasons you just listed, I think probably the pioneer spirit is the most, where people just want to connect with where their food comes from. They want to learn themselves and also teach their kids. And the whole local food movement, you can't get a whole lot. You can't get more local than your backyard. So
I think
that's the main driving thing. And as far as like food security, I don't know at the density that I'm talking of, that I'm a proponent of, and I've mentioned keeping them as pets and things like that. You're not really going to be making eggs for at a lower cost than what you can buy them at the grocery store. So it's just a reality that the industry has figured out how to make relatively nutritious eggs at a very low cost, right?
Right.
And
how would you say, now that this is interesting, how would you say the nutritional content and quality of your backyard poultry raised chicken eggs would be versus what you buy in the supermarket?
I would be surprised if like the macronutrients are different. An egg is an egg, no matter where you raise it. But if you're feeding them, your leftover cantaloupe and your squash, you've probably seen this if you've had these eggs. They're often a more orange yolk.
Okay.
And they deposit more like carotenoids. So you could get some of these.
Oh, really? In the egg itself?
Yeah. Some of these nutrients that aren't like necessarily essential nutrients, but have been shown to have positive health effects.
Are there studies out there that have been done on this? Because this is what you just brought up is very interesting to me, that, you know, potentially there are benefits that we haven't thought about, like you say, the carotenoids.
Yeah, there's been studies on that. It's even the eggs you can buy at the store are. Another example is the omega eggs, right?
Right.
You could find a high flaxseed diet to feed your urban poultry, and you'd have eggs with high omega-3 in them, and you can also buy those from the store. So the ones you buy at the store, they have manipulated the diet to make them more orange and more pale, and in different countries there's a different demand for like color of egg yolk.
Right.
So, and the color is mostly the carotenoids.
Okay. And that's something when you're consulting services, you would consult about diet, obviously, like what to feed chickens. Would that change depending on the demographic you're dealing with because of cultural preferences for different yolk color?
Yeah, sure. If someone specified that they wanted a certain type of egg yolk, I could recommend a diet. And there's also, I mentioned you can get feed just at the farm store, but if you go to like Sharp's Feed Mill just right outside of Guelph, there's they get in orders of organic feed from a feed mill near Ottawa, I think. So you can get different diets for the birds, and that directly affects what the eggs are. So,
well, that's very interesting. Something, again, I haven't considered. Now, what about people that think that, okay, I'm raising chickens, I'm raising layers, I'm producing eggs, I've got extra eggs that I can't consume myself. Have there been any people talking to you about, is it a potential business? Could I sell eggs to my neighbors? Are there rules, regulations about that?
I haven't had that question. I don't know what the rules are about selling them, but you know, when you drive outside of the city, there's signs all the time that list eggs for $2, $2.50 a dozen.
Right.
And so I'm not sure what the regulations are about selling any excess eggs you have. I usually give them away to the neighbors.
And that keeps them happy, I guess, too, right?
Yeah, it keeps people happy. And the industrial bird has been made to produce the most low cost egg possible, right?
Right.
So it's really going to be hard. I don't think you could even get the grocery price for your eggs,
right?
Because you need to get rid of them.
Right.
So I think it'd be really hard, and you're going to be feeding them more feed per egg than what they do in the industry setting because they're exposed to the elements, so they eat more, they waste more. It's not going to be like a profitable business. You might be able to recoup some feed costs and things like that, but
so it's as much a labor of love and just you know, the DIY ethic and the health benefits as much as anything else.
I think it's similar to like gardening in your backyard.
Right.
You don't garden to make money selling vegetables to your neighbors.
Yeah, that's right.
So
now just somebody starting out with, let's say, five layers, what's the cost, you think, for them for a season to produce eggs? Can you give a ballpark number? Just wonder what we're looking at if somebody wanted to get involved with
it. The setup costs?
Yeah.
It'd probably be, depending on how the pen could cost like $100 to $500, depending on how fancy of a pen you want to set up or retrofit. The birds are relatively inexpensive. I think they're like $1 if you buy chicks each, $1 each,
really?
Or something like that, and you get them in the mail. The pullets are $12 to $20. The birds that are ready to lay are $12 to $20 each. And then feed, I think, is $15 for a 50-pound bag or something like that, and that lasts probably a month or so. So once you're set up, the costs are pretty low.
Okay.
Feeder, waters, that's probably another $50 bucks and things
that. So, but now in the city of Guelph, you can, right now, you can raise backyard chickens as long as they're in accordance with the bylaws that the city has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are different bylaws around the country, I'm assuming, for backyard poultry production.
Yeah, right now there's only a handful of cities that technically allow urban poultry, but so again, that's why my wife and I and the website we created, the business, it's education, and I think that's the biggest thing, is to be able to educate people interested in this and also communities, because this movement, the next step for this movement to take root is more bylaws and also, just educating so that the people who want to raise them can do it properly and not cause any problems, and that the neighbors also are educated on what it takes and
And could you just give the contact information for Urban Chicken?
Yeah, the website's urbanchicken.ca, and we have an email on there, and should I have my phone number?
Sure.
It's 519-827-6497.
I've been talking with David Trott from urbanchicken.ca about backyard poultry production. This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM.